happening. So the beginning of the chapter, we saw the people complain and God punished them. And then immediately the mixed multitude began to lust and complain, and the Jews followed suit. We saw last week in this same passage, there's basically two storylines in here. Last week we saw the storyline of Moses, first of all complaining about the burden of the people, but then second of all questioning God's power, something we never want to do. But he questioned how God was going to feed all these people meat for a month. And then God sent in 7 billion liters of quails. That's a lot of quails. But tonight we look at that same storyline, but this time from the perspective of the Israelites and their what caused the anger of the Lord upon them. So let's read 4 to 6 first, just as a review. Then we'll jump down to 10. So in Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 4, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell in lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes.'" And then down to verse 10. "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased." Verse 13. "Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, 'Give us flesh that we may eat.'" Down to verse 18. "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month, until it come out your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, 'Why came we forth out of Egypt?'" Verse 31. "And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. The people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth." So the people that lusted, that's our title tonight. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word to guide and grow us. Thank you for it. Thank you for these many lessons, Lord. You said that things are written aforetime, are written for our learning. I pray we will learn tonight things that we can apply in our own Christian walk. And Lord, that your will be done in the service. We love you in Christ's name. I ask this. Amen. So this week, you know, last week, Moses complained about the burden. He questioned God's ability to provide the quails. This week, we look at God's response to the people's complaining. We saw them complaining there in verses 4 through 6. We missed the meat. Why did we leave Egypt, essentially? And verse 10, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. God's anger. As I mentioned last week, this is only the second time so far in Scripture that God's anger was kindled. The first time was when Moses tried to talk his way out of being God's chosen servant in Exodus chapter 4. This time, it is Israel complaining. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10:10, God talks about this event and asks us to learn from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 Verse 10, the whole thing is a lesson from Israel. Notice verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10. "Now these things were our examples, So he's telling us, here's some examples that we can learn from in the Old Testament. And number 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. The people murmured. They complained. They said they were tired of the manna, and they said that they missed Egypt. So the people here are asking for more than the manna, even though every day they had a free meal, perfect nutrition, straight from God, falling out of the sky. Didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to go plant crops or kill stock. They just went and picked it up off the ground and cooked it and ate it. And now they're complaining. Well, all of us know what the manna represents, don't we? Because we get to the New Testament and Jesus likens himself to the manna when he refers to himself in John chapter 6 as the bread of life. And so the manna represents or pictures God's word. Do Christians sometimes say, oh, I'm tired of reading the Bible. I'm tired of studying the Bible. Yeah, they do. I'm tired of going to church and hearing that preacher go on and on about the Bible all the time. And that's exactly what this is picturing. Is when a Christian says, it's not enough. I need more in my life. I need more variety. I need more excitement. And so 50 years ago, we get the charismatic churches. And they give you all the excitement you could ever want, don't they? But they don't give you the manna. And that's exactly what's happened. The Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is here. It says, but that for their own lusts, 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's that word lusts. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. So rather than doctrine, based on their lusts, they'd rather have their ears tickled. And that's where we find ourselves today. So, verse 18, God then speaks to Moses, or to the people through Moses. And says, Moses, this is what I want you to tell the people. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. In other words, get ready for tomorrow. And ye shall eat flesh. You've complained. You've said, who shall give us flesh to eat? 3 million people in the middle of the desert. Where are they going to find flesh? Tomorrow, you're going to eat flesh. You have wept in the ears of the Lord. And here are the two things that God points out himself that angered him. Number one, you said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And number two, it was well with us in Egypt. Both of those show what? Complaining about God's provision and discontentment. And that angered the Lord. Was it well for them in Egypt? We all know it wasn't. They cried, Lord, help us, rescue us. We're slaves. We've been slaves for 400 years. Please send someone to rescue us from Egypt. And he sent Moses, and now they're saying, they haven't been out of Egypt very long. Now they're saying, it was well with us in Egypt. That's what the devil does, isn't it? We look back at our former life and say, oh, it was, the devil says, it was really quite good. Maybe you should go back. And how many Christians do? And the other thing, of course, is the flesh. They're saying, we're not satisfied with what you're providing, Lord. You're providing us perfect food, straight from the sky. We don't have to work for it. Miraculous food is not enough. We're bored with it. We want more. We want flesh. And all I can say is be careful what you ask for. Because sometimes, if we keep asking for something that's not good for us, and God is hearing it, of course, and God says no, and we keep asking, sometimes He'll give it to us just so we can learn the lesson we need to learn. And I'm sure if you've been saved a while, you've been there, where you really wanted something. You wanted it so bad that you just kept asking God. He kept saying no, but you wanted it so bad you just kept pushing. And finally you got it, and it turned out that it wasn't such a great idea after all. I know we in our young married life happened with a car, and you probably had the same experience. We just wanted this certain car, and God just kept saying, no, no, we wanted it that bad. We just kept pushing, pushing, pushing. We didn't care what the interest rate was. We just had to have this car. Turned out to be the biggest lemon we've ever owned. We ended up turning it back in and taking the hit on our loan because the thing just kept breaking, and at one point it would only go into second gear, and that was it. So he gave us what we asked for, and it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. It was a bad idea. And here they are saying, Lord, we just want flesh. We want lots and lots of flesh. God says, you know what? I'm going to give you so much flesh. You're not just going to eat it for a day or two. You're not just going to eat it for a week or two. You're going to eat it for an entire month to the point that you're sick of it. That's what he says, isn't it? Until it come out your nostrils, verse 20. You're going to eat so much meat. And they're standing there in the desert thinking, what? How's this possible? We don't have this meat. Where's this meat going to come from? You're going to eat so much meat that it's going to come out your nose. And it'll be loathsome unto you. God sometimes just turns us over, doesn't he? Look at Romans chapter 1 and we'll see this. Sometimes we just keep pushing and pushing and God says, fine. You can have your way. Now this is, of course, a progression here. But verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Here's that word again. Through the lusts, Romans 1:24, of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. You say, oh, that could only happen to the unsaved. I disagree. I think it can happen to the saved too. That we just keep asking something that's not good for us. Eventually God says, here, you obviously have to learn the lesson the hard way. So I'm going to give it to you and you're going to learn. And hopefully you won't do it again. But we will. Anyway, verse 20, it says, until it come out your nostrils. He says, why? This is God's interpretation of their complaining and murmuring. You have despised the Lord. That's some pretty strong words right there, isn't it? They didn't say those exact words, did they? They didn't say, God, we despise you. But they did say, God, you're not providing what we want, which is more than the manna. They did say, God, why did you take us out of Egypt? It was actually pretty good for us back then. God's interpretation of that was, you are despising him because you are essentially accusing him of not being good, right? And of not caring about their needs and so forth. And none of those things are true, are they? God is good. God always provides what we need. If we're dissatisfied, it's not because God isn't good. It's because we've got a heart problem. And that was Egypt here. And then, of course, he reminds them that they said, you have wept before me, saying what? Why came we forth out of Egypt? What a question. Lord, why did you rescue us from Egypt when we asked you to? And yet, how many times do we get into a situation, a trial, things get a bit tough, and we say, Lord, why? Why did you allow this in my life? This isn't fair. So now God has taught us a really good lesson. We could call it how to make God angry. To murmur, to complain, to question him, and to look back, which he told us not to do, right? Don't look back. And allow the devil to trick us into thinking it was better in our old days than it really was. So in verse 31, we saw where God brought in, we saw this last week, the entire camp was filled with quails 2 cubits high, which is about a meter. So a meter deep of quails for the entire camp. And it says they each gathered 10 homers, which a homer is 200 liters, so that's 2,000 liters, and then you multiply that by people, it's about 7 billion liters of quail. So the people are like, wow, this is so wonderful. God gave us what we've been asking for, some meat, because it was so good for us in Egypt. We ate meat. Now we have meat again. Verse 33. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed. So they're just grabbing the meat. They've just cooked up their first batch of miraculous quail. They're about to take that first bite. And the wrath of the Lord was kindled, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Wow. God gives us some recounting of this in a couple of places. Look at Psalm 78, verse 27, if we could, where he explains what the issue was. The issue was lust. The whole thing, the issue was lust. Notice Psalm 78, verse 27. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. There's God's recounting of what happened here in Numbers 11. He gave them their own desire. He gave them what they were begging for. But that's not all. If you go to 1 Psalms 106 this time, and verse 14. So God actually refers back to this event a number of times in Scripture because he wants us to learn from it. That the lust of the flesh brought a plague. That the complaining brought a plague. Psalm 106, verse 14. It says, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. So here God refers to it as them tempting him. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, he also refers to this event. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6 this time. We looked at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Look at verse 5. With many of them God was not well pleased. Here we have three other times where God refers back to this very event to say, please learn from Israel. That God hates lust. God hates complaining. God hates it when we look back. And they did all of those things. Jesus warned us in Mark 4, if you want to turn there quickly, Mark 4:19, and talking about the Word of God and our hearts, he warns us that lust can actually get in the way of the Word working in our lives like it should. Mark chapter 4, look down in verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and the cares of this world, and this deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it become unfruitful. The lusts of other things, wanting more than what God provides. The lusts of other things. So don't just think it's only about food. It's wanting to please the flesh. It's wanting more than what God provides. It's essentially saying God is not providing what I want. God is not good enough I'm not content with what God is providing. I'm going to complain about it, maybe just in my heart, but God hears it, and nothing angers God more. If you look at the punishment that God executed upon Israel in the desert, the majority of the punishment was for complaining, murmuring. Because again, that is a affront to the person of God. So then, back in our passage, verse 34, God even gave this place a name. So it was that big of an event that he renamed this spot in the desert so the people would never forget what happened. He named it whatever that name is. Kibroth Hatava. But I looked up the Hebrew. It's okay. What does it mean? The graves of the lusting, or the graves of the gluttons. That's the meaning of the Hebrew there. How do we? And it says right there, verse 34, because they buried the people that what? The last word in the chapter, lusted. Well, the next to the last verse of the chapter. They buried the people that lusted. So God, back in verse 10, remember, the anger of the Lord was kindled how much? Greatly. Amen? Greatly. This is not what we want to do, is kindle God's anger greatly. Amen? And now God has shown us what will do it. Verse 18, who shall give us flesh to eat? And it was well with us in Egypt. First of all, complaining about God's provision, not being content. And then second of all, looking back with Satan-colored glasses and seeing the past is better than it was. And then God says to them, verse 20, you have despised me. This is God's interpretation, explanation, whatever. What happens when we murmur and complain about his provision, when we say it's not good enough or not enough, and when we begin to look back and say, you know, it was better back then, God says, it's despising him. Imagine despising the one who gave us eternal life, despising the one who rescued us from Egypt, Egypt picturing the world and sin, amen? He pulled us out. He brought us through the Red Sea, which pictures salvation, well, pictures baptism, actually. He gave us the Passover, which pictures salvation. And he's taking us to the Promised Land, which pictures the victorious Christian life. And our response to all of that is to complain about what he's doing in our lives. How does he interpret it? You have despised the Lord. And then the people that lusted. God, in many of the plagues, he tells us how many people died. He doesn't even tell us on this one. We don't know. But whoever was lusting after the quails, that would have been a big, pretty big chunk of people, as they were putting it into their mouth, God killed them with a very great plague. Not just a little plague, a very great plague. Then he refers to it back at least three times in Scripture. Please look back at this story and learn. Please don't lust like they lusted. Please don't complain like they complained. Please don't anger me like they angered me and be dissatisfied with what I provide. Be satisfied with what I provide because I know what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you. God says, but I do. So don't complain. And whatever you do, remember Lot's wife. Amen? That's one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but what a powerful truth. Remember Lot's wife. So the people that lusted, the Bible says, were sent a very great plague. How sad. Now, wouldn't it be good if it was done? If Israel had learned their lesson and it was all over? It's not done. Next year, next week, chapter 12. What do you think happens? You think Israel says, okay, we were wrong. Let's go forward, Moses. Nope. They're going to start complaining about Moses again. And then chapter 13, guess what's going to happen? They're going to complain again. Boy, they sure picture us, don't they? So the people that lusted, let that not be us. Lord, thank you for your beautiful story and yet sad story. But thank you for recording it for us that we might learn. I pray we would. We would learn not to ever complain about your provision, that you always know how much and what to give us, because you know us and you know what's good for us. May we never disagree with that. And may we never look back to Egypt and think that it was better. May we be grateful for your salvation and provision and trust you every step of the way. How we love you and thank you in Jesus.